Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned a little bit ago, the focus of the message today is on Luke chapter 24, the account of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It was in spring of 1799 that the armies of Napoleon appeared on the heights to the west of a little village called Feldkirch in Austria. It was Holy Week, Holy Saturday, to be exact, the day before Easter, as the rays of the sun glittered on the weapons of the gathering French army. The people were fearing for their lives. You see, the help from the Austrian army, it was too far away to be able to reach Feldkirch in time and defend the town. The people recognized that by next day it would be taken and ransacked with little resistance. Their hearts were hopeless. All through the night, the town council consulted together, determining what there was that they could possibly do to alleviate this situation, as the villagers prayed and prayed in anticipation of what the next day would bring. After much discussion and in the wee hours of Easter Sunday morning, the dean of the church rose and said, "My brothers, it is Easter day. We've been reckoning our own strength, and that fails. Let us turn to God, ring the bells, and have Easter service as usual, and leave the matter in God's hands." Well, they agreed to do what he suggested, and at sunrise, all the churches in the town of Feldkirch began to ring their bells. A joyous tintinnabulation rang out to the hills surrounding the village, and the streets were filled with worshipers as they made their way to their churches. Well, the French, lined up there in the hills preparing to attack, heard the sudden church bells with a mixture of both surprise and alarm. You see, the officers forgot that it was Easter Sunday. And so when they saw all the people out in the streets and all the bells ringing, they just assumed that the Austrian army had come to their defense. And what was supposed to be an easy victory turned into a dangerous situation. In fact, by the time the bells stopped ringing, the French had retreated and not a soldier was to be seen. Hopeless hearts found hope. In our text for today, two disciples are making their way north from Jerusalem. They're on their way to that little village called Emmaus, but they were in no hurry. They were dragging their feet as they walked along, saddened by the events of Good Friday and even Easter Sunday morning. As they were talking about everything that had happened and how their lives were so drastically changed, a stranger, at least to them, for they were kept from recognizing him, walked up alongside them. Luke lets us know that it is Jesus who's joining them, but as Jesus talks to them, they have no idea who he is. He asks them what they're talking about, and they're a little shocked because how could anybody who had been coming from the same place they were in Jerusalem, how could anybody not know what was going on? But they shared with them, could hardly bring themselves to discuss it. They were so saddened by what had happened over the last 3 days. Their friend, their master, their rabbi, the one that they had described as a mighty prophet, had been unjustly condemned and violently executed on a cross. I mean, everything they had thought of him, everything they wanted from him, all they had hoped for, all of it was now buried in the ground with him. All their hopes, all their expectations, everything was changed. And what's more, now there were these rumors going around. Some of their group had gone out to the grave and it was empty. Others came back saying that angels had told them that he was alive. It just all mixed into the chaos and the uncertainty. In fact, it all just kind of came together to represent the angst of their hearts, their hopeless hearts. But then Jesus begins to interpret the Old Testament to them, and he begins to explain to them, beginning with Moses and the prophets, how all of this was intended. He speaks to them about things like the Old Testament promises and prophecies and the sacrifices and the word pictures, the tabernacle and the temple and the worship. Just like in the book of Hebrews, all of it is laid out for them as a picture of the Messiah that was to come. In fact, he goes through it all and he matches up with them both the prophecies and the fulfillment to be found in this friend and Rabbi Jesus. Yeah, Jesus shows them by opening scriptures to them that all of this was part of God's plan. Those disciples thought that Jesus had come on his mission and had just failed. But no, now they were to understand that all of this had happened at long last, just as it had been prophesied, just as Jesus had said. And then, in the midst of all of that, he allows them to recognize him. And they know that he is alive, just as he said. And hopeless hearts find hope. Remember a couple of weeks ago, as we gathered in our homes to celebrate Easter Sunday together via online worship. What a different kind of Easter that was. None of us have experienced anything like it. And yet even through all of that, as different as it was, no Easter breakfast, no packing the church, no hymns singing to the rafters, just the sound of our brothers and sisters via web joining together. Yet even through that, didn't you find your heart burning within you? To hear in these strange circumstances, he is risen, and to respond with a heart warmed with that message of the resurrection, to respond, he is risen indeed. Isn't that the kind of burning that these disciples experienced on the road? Isn't that the kind of burning that we love to feel? That we long to feel, that we yearn to feel, hearts that are filled with hope. Sadly, I think that our hearts don't always feel that way, do they? Too many other things tend to creep in. We have sad hearts that are weighed down with the weights of sorrow and suffering and sin. We have troubled hearts that are perplexed of the problems and challenges of life. We have weak hearts that struggle with the trials and temptations of life. We have doubtful hearts that are uncertain that Jesus truly walks with us, that the Lord is truly accomplishing what's good in our lives. We have lukewarm hearts that are just kind of indifferent to God's promises, to the zeal that God inspires in us through his Holy Spirit. We have cold hearts that are not burning with the joy of the resurrection. And the thing is, the more we look inside of us, the more we realize the evil that lurks within. We look at ourselves and our words and our thoughts and our actions, and we are confronted by the fact that that Easter joy can be pretty dim. When we see that we try to live up to what God demands and we fail miserably. Sometimes we don't even care what God says. And it leaves us with this sense of guilt, this sense of hopelessness, huh? Kind of, what does all of this really mean? No more hope than those disciples as they dragged their feet home from Jerusalem. Hopelessness like the citizens of Feldkirk felt just before that Easter dawn. Expectations changed. Questions about the future. Self-serving, self-preserving, hopeless hearts. I think that's why so often we find ourselves trudging along the road of life, downcast and depressed. Our hearts are hopeless because all around us and in us, we see sin and its effects. We see the coldness in our world. We see people going through the struggles of life and death, and then we see them no more. So many days, it seems like there is just no purpose to life, that there will never be peace, that it's all for nothing. That all just seems so hopeless in our heart of hearts. But whatever the temperature of your heart, whatever it is that pushes the good things out of your heart, know that as you walk along the road of life, your risen Christ comes to meet you. He speaks to you, and he breaks bread with you, and he reveals himself to you again and again as your risen Lord. Like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, even like those citizens of Feldkirch, Austria, it is Easter joy that changes everything, that makes all the difference. Jesus rekindles your heart, and he fans the flame of your heart, and he feeds the fire in your heart through his word. And in doing so, hopeless hearts find hope. You know, in the Bible, the word hope is not defined as some wistful desire, hoping that something was happening. Yeah, I hope. No, biblical hope is based in absolute truth. It's a hope founded on God's promises fulfilled and given. It's a guaranteed promise. The Apostle Paul explains it in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. This sure, this certain hope changes, impacts the reality of our future. Not just in this life, not just for tomorrow and next month and next year and next decade, next century, next millennia, if the Lord wills it. Not just for this life, but hope for the life to come. Because you see, Christ's death, it and resurrection, it guarantees it all. It proves it all. Jesus was raised from the dead to prove that he has conquered sin, that he has conquered Satan, that he has conquered death itself. Jesus rose from the dead to give you hope. And now as Jesus yet again opens our minds and our hearts, yet again our hearts are warmed. Because you see, life no longer bogs us down with a sense of guilt and fear. No, we live with a sense of invincibility, with a sense of immortality. Because he lives, you also shall live. That means life isn't hopeless, as we heard again last Sunday. We've been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We don't trudge along sorrowful and hopeful to the grave and hopeless to the grave. The risen Christ gives us hope and promises, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." These are the words. This is the word that comes to you along the road of life each and every day. Yeah, it's great while we're all gathered here and we hear it together and we encourage one another. But guess what? Even as you go back out there into the world, even as you live your life of faith, it is that word that comes to you. It is that message of Christ is risen that continues to burn within your hearts. Because it's just when we face a seemingly insurmountable problem that the message rings out, Christ is risen. It's just as we're standing at the graveside of a loved one that we find hope in certain promise. Christ is risen. It's just when we find our steps heavy, our spirits sagging, our hearts growing cold, that the risen Lord Jesus appears to us on the road and says, "Take heart, I am risen." Again and again, he walks with us. He talks with us. He speaks to us in his word. He opens the scriptures to us. He opens our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and our hearts become warm again. Sad hearts are filled with joy. Troubled hearts are filled with peace. Weak hearts are filled with strength. Doubtful and despairing hearts are filled with promise. Lukewarm hearts are filled with conviction. Yeah, hopeless hearts are filled with hope. For there's no sin that he cannot forgive. There is no emptiness that he cannot fill. There is no hurt that he cannot heal. Truly, he warms your heart of hopelessness to be a heart burning with abounding hope. That's why we so longingly pray with those Emmaus disciples, "Stay with us, Lord." Amen.